Sonny and Sister Julie Argazzoni, and they are the founders of this great ministry, Victory Outreach International. And this week we've had the gang that have come all the way over from America to come and into the nation of Ireland here in Manchester, UK, and then they're going on to Holland. And you know what? That wouldn't have been possible if it hadn't been for this man that's coming up next. Because he is the one that founded the gang. God put a vision in his heart that God would raise up a ministry for young people. And it became known as God's Anointed Now Generation. And what started with just a small group of friends and PKs and you know, just young people is now an army of thousands and thousands of young men and women across the globe. Radical, sold out for Jesus Christ. And he's been pastoring with his beautiful wife, Kim, and their five children, right, in the beautiful city of Chino, now in Los Angeles. Amen. Biggest church in Victory Outreach. In fact, his son, Cruz. Cruz, give us a wave. He's come. Cruz has been playing that jazz trumpet in the background. You know that stuff that just lulls you, man. It just... And you know what? When Cruz was out on the streets just the other day, Some young girls came up and they thought he was famous. Well, he is, but they thought he was in Disney XD. They thought he was in that show Victorious. You ever heard of it? How many of you have heard of Victorious? My daughter watches it all the time. It's a kind of, you know, Victorious outreach, amen. And you know when they went away, these young girls, they walked away and they went, ooh, he's fit. How many of you know what that means? Cruz is fit. Amen. So we're gonna put up a hashtag. Hashtag Cruz is fit. In America, that means he's cute. Amen. Praise the Lord. So sorry, Cruz, but I got you. Amen. But I want us to give a massive, massive Victory Outreach and gang welcome to Pastor Sonny Argazzoni Junior, Elder of Victory Outreach.
Hallelujah. Come on and give Jesus all the praise. Somebody stir it up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Once again, we want to just... We've been thanking your pastors and the different people behind the scenes, but I want to publicly thank everyone that's hosting us for all the hospitality on behalf of the Crusader team and on behalf of the ministers that have come. We've been greatly receptive. I mean, your reception has been phenomenal. And we want to thank you for the love and hospitality that we've received here in Victory Outreach Manchester. Pastor Paul, we love you and we thank you. Sister Vicky, we thank you as well. And the entire family of Manchester, Victory Outreach, we want to thank you. And also, I send you greetings from my parents, the founders of Victory Outreach. They sent me on a mission a couple months ago to Africa. South Africa. I was in South Africa for about a month, actually a complete month. I was in South Africa helping with the teams there in Cape Town, also in Mitchell's Plain. Then I went on to Pretoria and Johannesburg. And God is moving tremendously in South Africa. There's revival taking place. God is on the move. And recently, they sent me to Ireland to come before the Crusaders to help with the team there. And I've been out of town, away from home for over 2 weeks now. But I'm excited to be here also in Manchester, see what God is doing here in Victory Outreach Manchester. And I'm proud of our church here. And this is not just a church. It's a base. This is a base for not only this nation, but also other nations as well. And we're looking to build a base also in Dublin, Ireland. We're looking with a team. We have a powerful team. Give the Lord a hand for that. Powerful team that God's raising up there in Dublin. But today I just came in here and I feel like the presence of God is so strong that God really wants to have his way. And I felt a sense of brokenness when I was worshiping the Lord. And I feel that many of us come in here, you're weary, you're tired. And I'm not just talking physically, spiritually sometimes you get drained. God wants to fill you up today. He wants to give you a fill up. You know, at the gas stations, they say, I don't know if you have it here, but you got petrol stations, but they say, don't top it off. You know, at the gas stations, meaning that don't overdo it. Don't keep the handle up to the point where it overflows. But today, we're going to top it off. Amen. We're going to believe God that he's just going to overflow in this place. Can somebody say amen? Come on, say amen. Stand with me one more time. Hallelujah. Praise the... I didn't say be seated. Did I say be seated? You guys are so programmed, huh? Oh, high five. I said, no, no, no. Stand up. Matthew chapter 16. Say Matthew. Chapter 16. We're going to start in verse 16. As you remain standing, even in the back, if you can. You know what? You know what I noticed at soccer games, too, and at different football games? People stand for hours. But at church, we got to sit longer, don't we? So let's stand just for the reading of the word. Let's stand for the reading of the word. Let's be committed to the things of God. Just like we like other things, we should love God more than anything. Can I hear a loud amen? Amen. And willing to stand even when we don't feel like it, because we love the Lord and we respect and honor him. Matthew chapter 16, we're going to be looking at verse 16. Part of verse 16, they said, who do they say that I am? Jesus said, who do they say that I am? Some say you are John the Baptist. Some say you are Elijah. Some say this, some say that. But what did Peter say? He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17 says, then Jesus answered him and said to him, Simon Bar-Jonah, blessed are you, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Say, on this rock I will build my church. And I also, actually it goes on to say this, I'll build my church. And I also say to you, you are Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus said, I will build my church. I will build my church. We belong to him. This is his church. This is his ministry. This is his movement. You are his. We belong to Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word today. I pray that you would just touch every single person that's in this place. From the pastors to the leaders, to the crusaders, to those that are part of Victory Outreach Manchester, and even those that are new today, I pray that you would minister through my life. Let your anointing be upon everything I say and do, and let your anointing be upon every listener that receives. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now turn to the person next to you and say, this is my church. And you may be seated. You may be seated. Jesus said, I will build my church. Ultimately, whose church is it? It belongs to who? Jesus takes ownership of his church. He's the ultimate builder of this church. When he told Peter, upon this rock, I will build this church, he was saying two things, essentially. He was saying, upon this statement that you made, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, upon that statement right there, that fact, that Jesus is the bedrock. He is the rock. He's the foundation of this church. I will build my church upon that statement. But he also uses this also as a dual meaning here when he says Peter. Peter means rock. Upon this rock, this person, Peter, also was becoming a rock. He was going from a reed to a rock. He was going from a flimsy, you know, backbone down to a rock standing for the Lord. He denied Christ three times before he went to that cross and the rooster crowed. Then he was in hiding. But then when Jesus resurrected, showed himself to the disciples, says, go to the upper room, wait for the Holy Spirit, wait for the promise. When he got endued from on high, the Holy Spirit fell upon him. And what happened to Peter? He became that rock. He started the church with the first message that people ever heard. And 3,000 men were saved that day. So upon this rock, this sure foundation, Jesus says, I will build my church. See, the foundation of this church in Victory Outreach is who? I want you to participate with me. Who is the foundation of this church? Of Victory Outreach International. Jesus is the foundation. He is the cornerstone of who we are, what we are doing, and where we are going. Ephesians chapter 2, follow me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. Today, what I really want to do is let you know, especially those of you that are new to Victory Outreach, that this isn't just a ministry that's ordinary. We are built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. We follow the Word of God. Everything that we do, all the principles and values are derived from God's Word. But we emphasize things a little more than others in some areas. That's what makes us a little bit different than some of your ordinary churches. We emphasize on certain things, and I'll be bringing them out in just a few moments. But I want you to know the foundation of this church, first of all, is Jesus Christ. Say, Jesus Christ. Say it louder, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 says, "For through him," who is that? Jesus. "We both have access to the Father by one Spirit." Just in that phrase alone, you see the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Trinity is right there. And Paul goes on to write to Ephesus. He says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but your fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household." His household also you can use as a term family. He says you are part of God's family now, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So what is he saying here? He says we're no longer throwaways. We're no longer losers. We're no longer strangers. We're no longer castaways. We're no longer, you know, society's throwaways. Now we belong to something special. We belong to God's family. He brought us in to his household, his family. And then he says here that we're being built, this church is being built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And also the apostles and prophets have built upon this solid foundation. And we together are being joined in building this house. You see, in the Old Testament, it would be a temple where the Holy Spirit would come and move in a powerful way. God would show up. Now, as Christians, we became the temple of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that powerful? The Holy Spirit now dwells in each and every one of us. We have access to the Father because the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, has given us access. Now, together, we're being joined to be God's building, God's house. You see, it's a metaphor to say that we are now the temple. We are now God's building. And he is building us as building blocks together to be his body, to be his great temple. So we're being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives in. I want you to know, the reason why there's so much power in this room is because you are now a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. This is not a speech. This is not a talk. This is an anointing session where God shows up in a powerful way. These words aren't words that are dead. These words are of life. The Bible is life words. So when we're teaching and preaching from this pulpit, it changes lives. It changes people. You're no longer to be the same person. And you coming in and worshiping together, there's power when we come together because we create a dwelling place where God lives. Come on, somebody. So chief cornerstone is Jesus. He is the chief cornerstone of this house. What does the word cornerstone mean? There's some definitions I want to bring out to you. Something that is essential, something that's indispensable, something that is basic. Also, you could define it as the chief foundation on which something is constructed or developed. The chief foundation. And I know a little bit about construction. We built a brand new building. It's about 3 years old now. Took about 5 years to get it completed because all the trials we went through. But thank God we had a solid foundation. Just the underground stuff that no one sees for flooding and different things. All of that cost, you know how much that cost? Over $500,000 for things you can't even see. And we had to raise all this money to build underground, but then the foundation had to be level. If the foundation was cracked or crooked, our building today would not be standing, or it eventually will not stand the long haul. But the foundation had to be secured. The same thing in our walk with God. Your foundation, my foundation, has to be founded in Jesus. Your foundation shouldn't be founded in your mom or your dad or your pastor or your leader. We need to have our own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't get to heaven on your parents' coattails. You can't get to heaven on your leader's merits or what they've accomplished or their relationship with the Lord. We all need to come to the Lord on our own. You know that if you're in a garage, it doesn't make you a car. If you're in a church, it doesn't make you automatic Christian. You got to start up the car, right? We got to start up our faith. Amen. In order for us to function in the house of God. And the way you start is by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He's the foundation, not only for your personal life, but also for this church. If we build upon the rock, we're building upon a sure foundation. There's some synonyms to that word, chief cornerstone. It's called bedrock. This is the bedrock. Also, another term is foundation. And I love this last one that I want to bring out to you, base. This also could be used as a base. And a base in military is where military people, soldiers get together and they strategize and they prepare for war, but they also get sent out to missions. Can I hear an amen? They get ready to be sent out to strategic places to attack the enemy. And that's what Victory Outreach does. We build bases and we look for strategic cities that there's a great need. For us, we're not looking for Beverly Hills. We're not looking for the upper class people. We're looking for the people that need Jesus the most. When we were in Ireland the other day, the best response I got in the streets were the people that were hooked on drugs. That's our anointing. And I didn't even have to be a drug addict to reach them because we have the anointing. God has given us a special anointing to reach the drug addict and the hurting ones that are really hurting out there in the streets. Come on, give the Lord a hand. So we got to understand that this is a base that God is building even here in Manchester. Pastor Paul, do you believe this? Sister Vicky, do you believe this? Leaders of the church, do you believe it? This is a little taste. This weekend has been a little taste of what's to come ahead. This building will not hold you for the future. Don't settle where you're at when God wants to take you to higher ground. Can somebody say amen? Come on, give the Lord a praise clap. You see, Jesus is the essential. Jesus is our foundation. Jesus is the bedrock. Jesus is what we build upon. He's the fundamental. He's the foundation. He's the essential. And we are building upon this foundation as a people. You see, we can never lose Jesus or we lost everything. He is a sure thing. He is our everything. Come on, somebody. He is the rock of our salvation. But not only Jesus says, I'm building my church, right? I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But then he also goes, I will give you the keys to the kingdom. Whew, come on, somebody. What he said, he's saying to the disciples, say, I'm going to give you the authority that I have. The authority to cast out devils. The authority to heal the sick. The authority to open blind eyes. The authority to raise the dead. The authority to do the things that I've modeled before you for these last 3.5 years. To touch the prostitute. To touch the leper, to touch the people that are hurting the most, the paralytic, to touch those people that were impossible cases, to raise Lazarus from the dead. I'm giving you this authority. I give it to you, the keys. Because I took the devil's keys of death, hell, and the grave. No longer does death have power over you. Hell is not your destination no more. Come on. And the grave has your own name on it because sudden death means sudden glory. Can somebody say amen? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To have a relationship with God secures our future. You see, but then he goes on to say, I'll build my church, I'll give you the keys. But then also we find here that we are partners with Christ in building his church. We have a privilege. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, but I'm going to use you to build it. We can participate in building his kingdom and building his church. Everyone plays an important role using their abilities and their talents and their giftings. How many of you know that you have a gift, at least one? Go ahead and wave at me. If you don't know it, raise it by faith because you're going to know it. Everybody has at least one gift. So the church, God's house, But most importantly, his people is being built, of course, by Jesus, but also his people are partnering with him and building this house. We saw this week. A lot of workers, even right now, they're working outside. A lot of team effort to build the house of God. Even at our home church, Victory Irish Chino. Why do you think I'm able to be away for a month or 2 months? Because we have a team. It's not built on Sunday Arizona Junior. It's not built on a personality. It's not built on my preaching. It's built on the premise that Jesus is a rock. We build upon him as a foundation, but also co-workers working together in their gifting, in their roles, using their giftings to build the house. It's not built by one. It's built by all. Come, somebody say amen. See, in Ephesians chapter 4, you see the fivefold ministry. He gave some to be a pastor, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Those fivefold ministries right there are used to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Guess who the saints are? Say it louder. You are the saints. I'm a pastor slash evangelist slash whatever. I carry that role. I have the office. I'm functioning in my role right now to equip you to build the house. Can somebody say amen? See, Paul understood the importance of establishing a community of believers. He was one of the greatest in this area. Wherever he went, he committed himself to seeing Christians established wherever city he went to. He established Christians in Corinth. He established Christians in Ephesus. He established Christians in different places in his modern, in his time that he lived in. Just like today, Victory Outreach, we're establishing bases in different parts of the world. Just this year alone, I've been in Mexico establishing some bases there. I've been also in Brazil establishing some bases there. I've been also in South Africa establishing some bases there. I also was in Ireland establishing some bases there. Here, establishing in Chicago, I've established, been building. My dad has been doing this for many years. Now it's our turn, Joshua generation, to rise up and be what God has called us to be. We're not called just to stay home and play video games all day. Hello, somebody. To watch the next Kardashian show. Or to be checking our status on social media all day, where we're just looking for as many thumbs up as we can get. How many likes can I get today? I want to have more comments. How can I get some more comments on my page? And that shouldn't be our goal. Our goal should be saying, hey, I want to partner with Christ to build his house, to build his kingdom. I want my life to count. Listen, this generation is going to take it to a whole nother level. We've been talking about accelerating the vision in Victory Outreach. And I see it happening on this trip. I see a lot of the crusaders, their vision is expanding. They're starting to catch a heart for cities outside of their local area where they come from. They're starting to see the European vision. Europe is crying out for Jesus. And we're raising up a generation that's not going to be a homeland generation, a USA generation. We're raising up a generation that are willing to go wherever God wants them to go because they realize they are part of helping to build his kingdom. They are co-workers. Come on, somebody. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. What does it say here? For we are co-workers. Say co-workers. Say it louder. We're co-workers in God's service. You are God's field. This is Paul writing. You are God's building. God's field, God's building. We're co-workers. By the grace God has given me, Paul writes, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. Say care. Each one should build with care. Each one should build with care. Tell the person next to you, say build with care. Now listen. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is. Because the day, say the day, there will be a judgment day. And he's not just judging us for our sins. Thank God, by the grace we are saved by faith, not of our works or none of our merit, but by the grace of God, the amazing grace, we are saved. But he will judge our works. On that day, he will bring it to light. Our works will be brought to light. It will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test the quality of each person's work. Are you listening to me, people? How many of you work for the Lord? Any workers, co-workers here? Are you building with care? He will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. I love that part. Whatever survives, we're going to get a reward for it. Some people are going to get big crowns, so big they can't even carry it on their head. They'll be like... Some people are going to have rubber bands with little stars. Some people are not going to get a thing because they never did anything for the Lord. But I attended Victory Outreach. But what did you do? I went to church. But what did you do? Did you even give? I didn't give either. Did you even go to a crusade? Did you even go to the streets and tell anybody about my saving power? Nothing. But I did go to church. That's not working for the Lord. We get an amen on that one? Working for the Lord is knowing your purpose, knowing your destiny, knowing your place, and understanding that you have a certain passion that God's given you, a personal style, and some spiritual gifts. When you learn your passion, your style of leadership, and your spiritual gifts, or your style of working, you're going to get your place in the kingdom. It could seem small to others, but if you're doing what God has called you and built you to do, you're in the right place, you're in the right thing, at the right time, and the right ministry. Come on, somebody. And God will reward you for it. Now, let's read on. It says, if what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward, okay? If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Now, this gives me the picture of this. All that we accumulate in life, okay? Say you had your own house, right? All the stuff, all the memories, all the pictures, all the things you've acquired, the cars, or whatever you have in your house. All of a sudden, your house gets on fire. And you get your family out, you get yourself out, and barely escape the flames, and everything goes, your whole house goes to flames. And you look at it, and you're like, it happened to my parents when I was a little boy. I don't remember the fire, but I remember that there was a fire when I was like 2 years old. And the whole house went up in flames. And they stood there and watched everything go up in smoke. They tell us, my parents told us, that it was one of the worst feelings that they've ever felt, to see everything go up in flames. How much worse would it be on the day of judgment when our works will be put before the Lord and will be tested by fire? What will remain? Will your works remain? You see, what it comes down to is this, a couple things, motives. What are your motives? Is it about status? Is it about title? I gotta have a title. My goal was to be a pastor. Now I made it to pastor. Now I really don't have to do much, or I don't have to give it up my all. I got to where I needed to be. Your goal is not to be a minister or a pastor. It's to build God's kingdom. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a hand. So your motives are important. Wood, hay, or straw. That burns up, doesn't it? Also, building with care, also, it refers to, it infers this, that when you build with care, you build with quality. Are you listening to me? What I see here in Manchester, I see quality stuff. And I'm very happy about that. Good image that you're portraying here in Victory Outreach. But I want to ask you, Victory Outreach Manchester, are you part of what God's doing here? Or are you spectating? I know you may not like me after this message, but I'm going to challenge you. I'm a challenging type of preacher. And I'm not afraid at all to say it like it is. God made me a preacher of boldness, so here it is. God has a place for you in this church. Not just to sit, not just to be here for 1 hour a week, but to do something powerful for his glory. This church is called to be a base. Say base. So it's going to take a lot of people putting their hands to the plow together. Now, so it infers your motive. It also infers your dedication. Listen to me. The Bible also says, Romans chapter 12, verse 11, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Okay, not lagging. That means not being lazy, but really being fervent. Fervency implies fire. Fire in the Holy Ghost. When you have fire in the Holy Ghost, it stirs you to serve the Lord with diligence. You see, people that build sloppily get sloppy results. When you build with care, you get quality results. You're building with silver, gold, and precious stones. When you build with those types of materials, it will last throughout eternity. Can somebody say amen? The beautiful thing about the crown that we get, many of us, I think I will for sure, I'm just going to lay it at the feet of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me the privilege to serve you in your kingdom. More than ever, I want to make the most of my time. I want to make the most of my treasure. I want to make the most of my giftings to serve the Lord with all of my heart. We're not getting any younger. We're only going to get older. You might as well give it 110%. Can somebody say amen? Louder, amen. So we're co-workers. Say co-workers. How many of you say, I want to build with care? So what are we going to need? We're going to need extreme makeovers in the house of God. Anyone ever see that show, Extreme Makeover? When they go into a house and there's people that are in need, and they bring all these designers, they bring the painters, the electricians, all these different contractors, carpentry people, all these different people, and they come together and say, we're going to transform this house. We're going to make this house the most spectacular house for this family that's in need, that's going through tragedy or whatever they're going through. So they come in, and they begin to get all this design work done. Then they send the family on vacation, right, for a week. They have 1 week to make it happen. So they get together, they make the design, they move quick, and somehow, some way, by the end of that vacation, they're done with that house to the final seconds, and that family comes in, and they see a complete transformation, extreme makeover, and that family is in tears when they see their house. Amen? Come on, somebody. The same thing for us, Victory Outreach. We're building a house for the homeless. We're building the house for the hurting. We're building a house for the drug addict. We're building a house for the prostitute. We're building a house for their families. We're building the house for the up and outers and middle and outers as well. We're building a house for people that are in deep need. And so it takes painters, electricians, carpenters. In other words, what I'm trying to say, it takes all types of giftings within God's kingdom to build this house. To build this house. So you have a gift. The person next to you has a gift. We all find our gifts. We stir up our gift. We fan our flame of our gift. We begin to run with fire and excitement. This church will begin to pop like never before. Come on, somebody. Get excited. That's what's happening at the Mother Church. People are finding their place. People are in their power spots. The church is beginning to explode. Since we entered into our new building, we've tripled in our attendance. We're looking to quadruple the next coming months. We're looking to go into double services in the next couple of months. We're believing God for a great harvest of more souls and more leaders and more people to rise up, not just for the local vision, but for the international vision. Raising up people. Just this past week in Ireland, we were there, and Pastor Mondo Garcia met me there from Las Vegas. We sent him out about 8 years ago when we left on our journey from La Puente. We sent them out, and the timing was not the best timing to do it, to step out. Yeah, exactly. It wasn't in the natural to send out a team when you're stepping out of your old place and you're going into a journey, but we did it by faith. 8 years later, he's averaging over 500 people in his services. Okay? He goes with me to Ireland. He's never been never been to Europe, ever. The only place he's ever been is to Mexico. Never been out of the country except for Mexico. He goes with me, and we begin to teach and preach and do some leadership. Then one day, we're going for a walk or a jog, and I said, Pastor Mondo, what do you think of coming back here for 3 months? And he says, I'll do it. I said, wait, you're answering too quick. Think about it. You have 5 children. You have a thriving church. I don't know. Maybe you should think about it. Pray about it. He goes, no, I'll do it. And I go, no, just think about it. Pray about it. We have a couple days. So we do the jog, we're, you know, do all that. Then I call my father, because my father's my coach. I got to ask him for the play sometimes. I said, what do you think, Dad, if Pastor Mondo comes here for 3 months to be the leader for a season to get these guys to the next level? He says, wow, that would be fantastic. Wow, really? How many kids does he have? He has 5 kids, Dad. He goes, whoa. He goes, he has a good church. It's growing, huh? I go, yep. He goes, well, you better double check with him. Make sure he's really understanding this commitment. And he says, check with him one more time. And don't put pressure on him. Let him, if he doesn't want to do it or if he can't do it, don't let him feel bad at all, because he shouldn't have to feel bad. So 3 days go by. 1 day left before he leaves. I say, Pastor Mondo, you still want to do it? He says, yes, Pastor. I already talked to my wife. She says, go for it. And when I get back to my church, I'm going to prepare them for a month, and then I'm going to come back. I want to see Ireland win for Jesus. Come on, give the Lord praise. That's the type of commitment we're talking about. Then also, I made a call to one of our guys in Van Nuys. He came out of our church. He was a home director for our team in Van Nuys, California. I called him up on Monday night. I said, we also have chosen you, Chris, to come over to be the rehab director. You know what he said to me? He says, yesterday I was talking to your brother Tim, and he was asking me, when are you going to come back to the mother church? And Chris told him, I don't think I'm coming back. I think my next thing is going to be international. The day before. So when I called him, he was like, as I'm talking about Ireland, he's like, oh my God, wow. And I'm like thinking, are you afraid of this or what? And he goes, no, you don't understand. Yesterday, he told me the conversation. He says, Pastor, I'm ready. I'm willing to go. Excited. His bags are packed already. That's what God has raised. This is the Joshua generation. Remember my dad says, it's your time? It's actually happening now, Philip. It's happening now, Ezra. It's happening now, Pastor Paul. It's happening now. God is raising us up. It's our time now. Not only us, but it's their time in Manchester. I want to hear the Manchester people yell, shout, whatever. Go on, give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. So along this journey, we're going to have some hardships. Along this journey, and listen, for me personally, we've had some hardships. We're going to have teamwork. Someone said teamwork makes the dream work. Keep moving forward no matter what. Everyone has their part to play in the right timing and the right order. Also, we got to understand there's plans to build from. Adam had plans, but he failed. When God gave him plans, and he said, don't touch of this fruit, what did he do? He broke the rules. He ate of the fruit. He messed it up. He failed. Noah was given plans, but Noah passed the test, and he built that ark, and he accomplished with the plans that God gave him. God has given him victory outreach plans. He's given us a mission statement. He's given us a great vision. He didn't give us all that without promises. He gave us promises. Treasures out of darkness. We're still seeing that promise fulfilled all over the world. Here in Manchester, in Brazil, in South Africa, and all over the world, we're seeing the promise being fulfilled. He's also given us an anointing. He's also given us the authority. He's also given us the giftings. He's also given us the talents. He's also given us the right people to do His will. All we need to do is answer and respond, yes, Lord, I am that person. Whatever you want, whatever your will, I'm ready, I'm willing. Send me, Lord. Now, what are the tools we need to build with? Real quick, and I'm going to go through this fast. The first tool in building His house, we have to understand that this is a house of worship. Say worship. Now, worship isn't just a worship service, like we just had a moment ago where we praise and worship the Lord with our tongue or the lips, but also with our tithes and offerings. But worship is a lifestyle. When you worship the Lord, it's a lifestyle. There's some Hebrew words I want to give you on praise and worship. The first word is called hallel. Say hallel. That's where we get the word hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm all say it like you mean it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It means to praise God with great excitement. Great enthusiasm. It's like winning the World Cup. If your city or your country won the World Cup, how much excitement would you have? Anybody here? If your team won the Super Bowl, Americans, if your team won the World Series, we would be full of enthusiasm and excitement. I want you to know that Jesus dying on the cross and rising again, He won the Super Bowl for our lives. He won the World Cup for our lives. We have been given the victory. Come on, somebody. So we can shout hallelujah. So shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's another word, and when you're building the house of worship, it's called Shabak. Say Shabak. Shabak means to praise God with a quiet voice. No, it means to praise God with a loud voice. Victory shout. Some people want to have quiet time all the time in the house of God. Listen, that's not what the Bible speaks about. It does have some times of quiet, yes, to meditate and have quiet time. But there's a lot of shouting in the Word of God. There's a lot of victory in the Word of God. And when you shout to the Lord with the voice of triumph, demons tremble, demons scatter, darkness leaves, and light fills the room. Come on, somebody shout for the Lord. Victory shout! There's another word called yada. Say yada. It means to praise God with uplifted hands. It represents your soul, your body, and your spirit being offered to God as a living sacrifice. Some people raise their hands. Everyone has a different raising of their hand style, right? You got those that are like this. And you got those that are like this. You got those that are like this. And the people next to you. And you got those that are like this. You got the one-handers. Their hip out. Or they do it right hand. Then you got the servers. Would you like a drink? Then you got the washing machine ones. Cycle one. Then some cycle two. They're up. And you don't want to see cycle three. Right? But you're worshiping. You know why you're doing what you're doing is you're offering God as a living sacrifice. Say, I'm living, Lord, and I love you. So when I raise my hands, I'm touching you. And you're touching me. My body, my mind, my soul, my spirit, it all belongs to you. I'm yours. So when you lift your hands to the Lord, it shouldn't be a routine. It should be like I'm in his, it's just you and him. There's another word called todah. Say todah. It means to praise God as an act of faith in anticipation of meeting your needs, knowing that God is able and willing to do so. Isn't that powerful? In other words, when we're praising God, even in the first part of our worship, there's an anticipation that's building up because you feel God's presence filling the room. And when it comes ready for the meeting of the needs, when we say, have anyone have a need in here? We pray for your needs. Many times we do that at our church. And there's an act of faith when they raise their hand. And then God to be able to meet those needs. Even at the altar call, there's a todah taking place. There's a time where we're anticipating God to meet our needs. Another word real quick, zamar. Say zamar. Say it louder, zamar. Zamar means to praise God with musical instruments. Some people don't have music in their churches. We believe that musical instruments do enhance our worship. And we praise God with them. We're not entertaining you. We're worshiping with them. So it means like David played his harp, right? We could also join with the instruments that they have right here. We have instruments too. How many of you know we have instruments? What are they? Look at your voice, right? But also your hands. So put your hands up. Now go like this. Wait. Everybody clap your hands. Faster. To the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on. Shout with a voice of triumph! Yes! So when we clap our hands, we're doing something biblical. When we shout, we're doing something biblical. When we raise our hands, it's biblical. When we dance in the Spirit, it's biblical. Tehillah, say Tehillah, not tequila. We're going to get a shot of Tehillah, not tequila, today. Tehillah means to praise God by singing. See, God inhabits the praises of his people. So when you sing to the Lord, even if you don't have the greatest voice, he looks to your heart. He doesn't even hear your voice. He hears your heart. And you may be completely off tune. The person next to you, you're taking them off tune. And they're looking at you like, they're like wanting to do this. But with God, he's just saying, keep on singing. I love the praises of my people. I inhabit the praises of my people. I show up. I dwell amongst you. I tabernacle with you. I come and feel you. Ooh. So whether you sing great or not too great, but I just encourage you, if you're going to sing up here, please have a good voice. Lead us in a good tune. Amen. Last one for this part, Barack. Say Barack. Say not Barack Obama. But Barak means, it means this: bless God by kneeling or bowing down before him. Bless God by kneeling and bowing. I love this part because I do this in private many times because I'm always usually preaching, so I'm always usually having people come and pray at the altar. But I'd like to do it in private or when I have time of prayer at church too. I like to get on my knees. There's something special about getting on your knees before the Lord and calling out to the Lord. It's a humbling part about, there's a humility that's shown in that posture. Sometimes I go prostrate. But when you go prostrate, make sure you're not sleepy. It's dangerous. When he says rest in the Lord, doesn't mean go to sleep in the Lord. So, you know, when you're like that, then the Lord begins to show you things. It's like you enter his gates with thanksgiving, right? Enter his courts with praise. But then you go into the Holy of Holies, that's where the Barak kicks in. Well, he's right there, and you're with him. This is not time for shouting and clapping. This is a time for intimacy, where he's right there. If somebody that you love, like your wife, or I love my wife, I can't wait to see her tomorrow, I'll see her. But when she's right there, I don't go, so when you're Barak before the Lord, it's not a time to shout. It's not a time to, it's a time just to enjoy the moment of intimacy. Say, I love you, Lord. It's brokenness. The Lord says, oh, I won't despise a broken and contrite heart. When you're broken before his presence, ooh, he fills you up. And I'm going to close in a few moments, but somebody come to the piano. House of worship, but also we're a house of prayer. When we have a house of worship combined with a house of prayer, the Bible says, my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. They didn't say for America, for all nations. And that's what Victory Outreach said. We're Victory Outreach International for all nations. Not only a house of prayer, but a house of prayer sets us up for a house of miracles. Can somebody say amen? In Luke chapter 13, verse 10 to 12, it talks about a woman with an infirmity. 18 years, look at me. She's walking with like this, hunched over. I don't, probably more than this, but I could only go that far with the suit on. But she was hunched over for 18 years. Listen closely. This woman was probably shunned, despised by society. She was looked at as a handicap, somebody that is, not normal. Probably treated as a second-class, third-class citizen. First of all, she's a woman. Secondly, she has a disease, so people wanted to stay away from her. So she's walking around like this, but then she hears that Jesus is in town. So Jesus made his way, and he says, woman, thou art loosed. And immediately she rose up and began to walk upright. You know, there's a lot of people walking like that, bent over in the streets of Manchester, in the streets of Ireland. We saw them. We were walking along the streets. People were hung over on the streets, or they were nodding out. Broken people, hurting people. Not only there in the streets, but also in the house of God. There's some people in this room that you have damaged emotions. And your infirmity is not physical, it's emotional. And you're walking with pain. And you're walking with your head down. You're not walking with the confidence that God wants you to have. A sense of dignity. That sense of self-respect, that sense of God esteem. I don't like to use self-esteem, God esteem, God confident. You're still down. My wife, Kim, before we got married, she had a little bit of a hunch in her back, a little bit. She would walk like that. And when we started getting closer, we got engaged, I started hugging her, right? You know, and then I would do this. I would kind of like push her right here, push it in a little bit. And she goes, what are you doing? I go, no, I'm just massaging you. She goes, no, you're doing something. I go, I'm just trying to push that part in because I think if you walk with a better posture, it looks better. Instead of walking like this, walk like this. You know. She goes, you know what? I don't know how this happened, but I think over the years I've been hurt so much. And I think it caused me to, this is my mechanism of defense. I don't want people to see what I'm going through. And this is what I've become, like a little bit hunched. She wasn't completely like this. I wouldn't have married her. I first get her healed, then I marry her. but she did a little. Anyway, it just turned the whole emotional moment into a laughing moment. But the point of the matter, but she said, you know, I've been through a lot. And I go, you know what? You don't have to stay like that. And I said, you know what? I'm going to pray for you right now. And I prayed for her, and I said, God, I pray, heal her on the inside. Heal her past hurts. Don't let her go through this anymore. Let her know she's a child of the Most High. She's a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. All things have become new. She's a child of Jesus Christ. She's a king's kid. She's a woman of faith and virtue. God wants to do that today, too. This is a house of miracles. Some of you have been hurting. Some of you have been going through things. You have a past that you don't even want to bring up, but it still hurts you today. You still think about it. And God says, your past is behind you now. I've given you a hope and a future. Old things have passed away. All things become, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Press toward the mark of the Most High call in Christ Jesus. Listen to me. Whatever the case is with you, God is able to meet that need, physically or emotionally. And then lastly, the tool, and I love this, house of outreach. This church and this ministry is an outreach ministry. Locally, regionally, nationally, and internationally, reaching out to touch hurting people around the world, building bases in strategic cities. Once again, Manchester, Pastor Vicky, Sister Vicky, this is a base. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't let the devil lie to you. God has called you by name. Europe needs leadership. And I believe God is raising you guys up to be one of the strongest leaders in Europe. Give the Lord a hand. We need you. We need you. We need diligence. We need passion. We need diligence to build up with precious stones, costly silver, costly gold. Things that will remain. So the other ministries in our Victory Outreach movement began to look and say, "Ooh, there's a model. Let's follow their model. They're close to us. We could follow them." We're all the way over there in America, California, the mother church. We're still a model, but it's hard to see us. They need to see a closer model that's closer to them. So Manchester, I implore you, I challenge you, I charge you, build this house to be a base for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. Everyone stand. Come on now. Give the Lord praise. Come on, come on. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. I want to open up these altars. Whatever God spoke to you, especially Manchester people, I want you to come if God spoke to you to build this house. Hallelujah.